understand it. You're obviously cold. She pointed a toe. It's spring.
So?
So, it's spring. Therefore, the weather will get better.
You're wearing flip-flops as an expression of faith.
If you like.
He couldn't think how to reply to this.
Okay, my turn.
He waited.
Did you think about driving off and leaving us this morning?
No.
Liar.
Okay, maybe a bit. Your neighbour wanted to smash my head in with a baseball bat, and your dog smells really bad.
Any excuse.
He heard her shift in the seat. Her feet disappeared under the duvet. Her hair smelled of coconut.
So why didn't you?
He thought for a minute before he responded. Perhaps it was because he couldn't see her face. Perhaps it was because sometime between the third and fourth glass, he had decided she was okay. Perhaps the drink and the late hour had lowered his defences, because he wouldn't normally have answered like he did.
Because I've done some stupid stuff lately, and maybe some part of me just wanted to do something I could feel good about.
Ed thought she was going to say something. He sort of hoped she would, but she didn't. He lay there for a few minutes, gazing out at the sodium lights and listening to Jessica Ray Thomas's breathing, and thought how much he missed just sleeping near another person. Most days he felt like the loneliest man on the planet. He thought about those tiny feet and their highly polished toenails. Then he saw his sister's raised eyebrow and realized he had probably had too much to drink.
Don't be an idiot, Nichols, he told himself,
and turned so that he had his back to her. And then, suddenly, it was cold and pale grey outside, and his left arm had gone to sleep, and he was so groggy that it took 2 whole minutes to figure out that the banging he could hear was the security guard knocking on the driver's window to tell them they couldn't sleep there.
Chapter 14. Tansy. There were 4 different types of Danish pastry at the breakfast buffet, and 3 different types of fruit juice, and a whole rack of those little individual packets of cereal that Mum said were uneconomical and would never buy. She had knocked on the window at 8:15 to tell them they should wear their jackets to breakfast and stuff as many of each of them as they could into their pockets. Her hair had flattened on one side, and she had no makeup on. Tansy guessed the car hadn't been that much of an adventure after all. Not the butters or jams, or anything that needs cutlery. Rolls, muffins, that kind of thing. Don't get caught. She looked behind her to where Mr. Nichols seemed to be having an argument with a security guard. And apples. Apples are healthy. And maybe some slices of ham for Norman. Where am I meant to put the ham? Or a sausage. Wrap them in a napkin. Isn't that stealing? No. But it's just taking a bit more than you're likely to eat at that exact moment. You're just... imagine you're a guest with a hormone disorder, and it makes you really, really hungry. But I haven't got a hormone disorder. But you could have. That's the point. You're that hungry, sick person, Tans. You've paid for your breakfast, but you need to eat a lot, more than you would normally eat. Tansy folded her arms. You said it was wrong to steal. It's not stealing, it's just getting your money's worth. But we didn't pay for it. Mr. Nichols did. Tansy, just do as I say, please. Look, Mr. Nichols and I are going to have to leave the car park for 30 minutes. Just do it, then come back to the room and be ready to leave at 9, okay? She leant through the window and kissed Tansy, then trudged back towards the car, her jacket wrapped around her. She stopped, turned back and shouted, Don't forget to brush your teeth, and don't leave any of your maths books. Nicky came out of the bathroom. He was wearing his really tight black jeans and a t-shirt that said, Whatevs, across the front. You're never going to get a sausage in those, she said, staring at his jeans. I bet I can hide more than you can, he said. Her eyes met his. You're on, Tansy said, and ran to get dressed. Mr. Nichols leant forward and squinted through his windscreen as Nicky and she walked across the car park. To be fair, Tansy thought, she would probably have squinted at them too. Nicky had stuffed two large oranges and an apple down the front of his jeans and waddled across the asphalt like he'd had an accident in his trousers. She was in her jacket, despite feeling too hot, because she'd packed the front of her hoodie with little packets of cereal, and if she didn't wear her jacket, she looked like she might be pregnant, with baby robots. They couldn't stop laughing. "Just get in, get in," said Mum, throwing their overnight bags into the boot and almost shoving them into the car as she glanced behind her. "What did you get?"
Mr. Nichols set off down the road. Tansy could see him glancing in the mirror as they took turns unloading their haul and handing it forward to Mum. Nicky pulled a white package from his pocket.
"3 Danish pastries. Watch out, the icing got a bit stuck to the napkins. 4 sausages and a few slices of bacon in a paper cup for Norman. 2 slices of cheese, a yogurt, and..." He tugged his jacket over his crotch, reached down, grimacing, tensing, and pulled out the fruit. "Can't believe I managed to fit those in there."
"There's nothing I can say to that that's in any way appropriate mother-son conversation," Mum said. Tansy had 6 small packets of cereal, 2 bananas and a jam sandwich that she'd made out of toasted white bread. She sat eating while Norman stared at her and 2 stalactites of drool grew longer and longer from his lips until they were pooling on the seat of Mr. Nichols's car.
"That woman behind the poached eggs definitely saw us."
"I told her you had a hormone disorder," Tansy said. "I told her you had to eat twice your body weight 3 times a day or you would faint in their dining room and you might actually die."
"Nice," said Nicky.
"You win on numbers," she said, counting out his items. "But I win extra points for skill."
She leant forward and as everyone watched, she carefully lifted the 2 polystyrene cups of coffee from her pockets, packed out with paper napkins so that they would stay upright. She handed 1 to Mum, and the other she placed in the cup holder next to Mr. Nichols.
"You are a genius," Mum said, peeling off the lid. "Oh, Tans, you have no idea how much I needed this."
She took a sip, closing her eyes. Tansy wasn't sure if it was that they'd done so well with the buffet, or just that Nicky was laughing for the first time in ages, but for a moment she looked happier than she had done since Dad left. Mr. Nichols just stared like they were a bunch of aliens.
"Okay, so we can make sandwiches for lunch with the ham, cheese and sausages. You guys can eat the pastries now. Fruit for pudding. Want one?"
She held an orange towards Mr. Nichols.
"It's a bit warm still, but I can peel it."
Kind of you," he said, tearing his gaze away. "But I think I'll just stop at a Starbucks."
The next part of the journey was actually quite nice. There were no traffic jams once they got out of town, and Mum persuaded Mr. Nichols to put on her favourite radio station and sang along to 6 songs, getting louder with each one. She made Tansy and Nicky join in too, and Mr. Nichols looked fed up at first, but Tansy noticed that after a few miles he was tapping the steering wheel like he was sort of enjoying himself. The sun got really hot, and Mr. Nichols slid the roof back. Norman sat bolt upright so that he could scent the air as they were going along, and it meant that he didn't squish them into each door, which was also nice. It reminded Tansy a bit of when Dad lived with them, and they would sometimes go on outings in his car, except Dad always drove too fast and got grumpy when Mum asked him to slow down, and they could never agree on where to stop and eat. And Dad would say he didn't understand why they couldn't just blow some money on a pub lunch. And Mum would say that she'd made the sandwiches now, and it would be silly to waste them. And Dad would tell Nicky to get his head out of whatever game he was playing and enjoy the damn scenery. And Nicky would mutter that he hadn't actually asked to come, which would make Dad even madder.
And then Tansy thought that while she did love Dad, she probably preferred this trip without him. After 2 hours, Mr. Nichols said he needed to stretch, and Norman needed to wee, so they stopped at the edge of a country park. Mum put some of the buffet haul out, and they sat in a little clearing in the shade at a proper wooden picnic table and ate. Tansy did some revision, prime numbers and quadratic equations, then took Norman for a walk around the woods. He was really happy and stopped every 2 minutes to sniff at something, and the sun kept sending little moving spotlights through the trees, and they saw a deer and 2 pheasants, and it was like they were actually on holiday.
"You okay, lovey?" Mum said, walking up with her arms crossed. From where they stood, they could see Nicky talking to Mr. Nichols at the table through the trees. "Feeling confident?"
"I think so," she said. "Did you go through the past papers last night?" "Yes, I do find the prime number sequences a bit difficult, but I wrote them all down, and when I saw the sequencing laid out, I found it easier. No more nightmares about the fishes." "Last night," Tansy said, "I dreamt about a cabbage that could roller skate. It was called Kevin." Mum gave her a long look. "Right." They walked a bit further. It was cooler in the forest, and it smelt of good damp, mossy and green and alive. Not like the damp in the back room, which just smelt mouldy. Mum stopped on the path and turned back towards the car. "I told you good things happened, didn't I?" She waited for Tansy to catch up. "Mr. Nichols is going to get us there tomorrow. We'll have a quiet night, get you through this competition, and you'll start at your new school. Then, hopefully, all our lives will change a little for the better. And this is fun, isn't it? This is a nice trip." She kept her eyes on the car as she spoke, and her voice did that thing where she was saying one thing and thinking about something else. Tansy noticed she'd put her makeup on while they were in the car. "Mum," she said.
"Yes?"
"We did sort of steal the food from that buffet, didn't we? I mean, if you look at it proportionally, we did take more than our share." Mum stared at her feet for a minute, thinking. "If you're really worried, when we get your prize money, we'll put £5 in an envelope and send it to them. How does that sound?" "I think, given the items we took, it would probably be nearer £6. Probably £6.50, Tansy said. "Then that's what we'll send them. And now I think we should work really, really hard to get this fat old dog of yours to run around a bit, so that A, he's tired enough to sleep the next leg of the journey, and B, it might encourage him to go to the loo here and not fart his way through the next 80 miles. They hit the road again. It rained. Mr. Nichols had had one of his phone calls with a man called Sydney and talked about share prices and market movements and looked a bit serious, so Mum didn't sing for a bit. Everyone was quiet. She tried not to sneak looks at her maths papers. Mum said it would make her sick. Tansy's legs kept sticking to Mr. Nichols's leather seat, and she was sort of regretting wearing her shorts. Plus, Norman had rolled in something in the woods, and she kept getting this whiff of something really bad, but she didn't want to say anything in case Mr. Nichols decided he'd had enough of them and their stinky dog. So she just held her nose with her fingers and tried to breathe through her mouth, only letting herself open her nostrils every 30 lampposts. "What are you thinking about, Tans?" Mum looked back through the seats. "I was thinking about permutations and combinations." Mum did that smile that she did when she didn't really get what Tansy was saying. "Well, I was thinking about that fruit salad at the breakfast bar. Like, that's a combination. It doesn't matter whether the apples, pears and bananas are in any order, right? But with permutations, it does." Mum still looked blank. Mr. Nichols looked in the rearview mirror and then turned to Mum. "Okay, so imagine pulling coloured socks from a drawer. If you have 6 pairs of different coloured socks in the drawer, say 12 in total, there are 6 times 5 times 4 times 3 different combinations you could pull them out in, right?" he said. But if all 12 had different colours, you'd have a really big number of different ways of pulling them out. Nearly 500 million. That sounds pretty much like our sock drawers, said Mum. Mr. Nichols looked back at Tans and grinned. So, Tans, if you have a drawer with 12 socks but you can't see them, how many do you have to pull out to decide if there are at least 2 pairs? Tansy was thinking about this for ages, so she didn't hear when Mr. Nichols started talking to Nicky.
You bored? You want to borrow my phone?
Really? Nicky pushed himself upright from his slumped position. Sure, it's in the pocket of my jacket. With Nicky glued again to a screen, Mum and Mr. Nichols started talking. It was possible they'd forgotten anyone else was in the car. Still thinking about socks? She said. Oh no, those problems can fry your brain. I'll leave that to your daughter. There was a short silence.
So, tell me about your wife.
Ex-wife, and no thanks.
Why not? You weren't unfaithful. I'm guessing she wasn't, or you would have made that face.
What face? There was a short silence, maybe 10 lampposts.
I'm not sure I would ever have made that face, but no, she wasn't, and no, I don't really want to discuss it. It's private? I just don't like talking about personal stuff. Do you want to talk about your ex? In front of his children?
Yeah, that's always a great idea. They carried on in silence for a few miles. Mum started tapping on the window. Tansy glanced over at Mr. Nichols. Every time Mum tapped, a little muscle tweaked in his jaw.
So, what shall we talk about then? I'm not very interested in software, and I'm guessing you have zero interest in what I do. I don't understand sock-related maths, and there are only so many times I can point at a field and say, "Oh, look, cows." Mr. Nichols sighed. Come on, it's a long way to Scotland. There was a 30-lamppost silence. Nicky was taking pictures out of the window with Mr. Nichols's phone. Lara, Italian, model.
Model? Mum laughed this great big laugh.
Of course.
What's that supposed to mean? Mr. Nichols said grumpily. All men like you go out with models.
What do you mean, men like me?
Mum pressed her lips together.
What do you mean, men like me? Come on.
Rich men.
I'm not rich.
Mum shook her head. No!
I'm not.
I think it depends how you define rich.
I've seen rich. I'm not rich. I'm well off, yes, but I'm a long way from rich.
Mum turned to him. He really had no idea whom he was dealing with. Do you have more than one house? He signalled and swung the wheel.
I might.
Do you have more than one car?
He glanced sideways.
Yes.
Then you're rich.
Nope. Rich is private jets and yachts. Rich is staff.
So what am I?
Mr. Nichols shook his head.
Not staff. You're...
what?
I'm just trying to imagine your face if I'd referred to you as my staff.
Mum started to laugh. My woman servant? My cleaning wench?
Yeah, all those. Okay, well, what would you say is rich?
Mum pulled one of the buffet apples from her bag and bit into it. She chewed for a minute before speaking.
Rich is paying every single bill on time without thinking about it.
Rich is being able to have a holiday or get through Christmas without having to borrow against January and February. Actually, rich would be just not thinking about money all the bloody time.
Everyone thinks about money, even rich people.
Yes, but you're just thinking what to do with it to make more money, whereas I'm thinking how the hell we can get enough of it to get through another week. Mr. Nichols made a sort of harumphing sound.
I can't believe I'm driving you to Scotland and you're giving me a hard time because you've misguidedly decided I'm some kind of Donald Trump.
I'm not giving you a hard time.
No.
I'm just pointing out that there's a difference between what you consider to be rich and what is actually rich. There was a sort of awkward silence. Mum blushed like she'd said too much and started eating her apple with big, noisy bites, even though she would have told Tansy off if she had eaten it like that. She had come awake again by then, and she didn't want Mum and Mr. Nichols to stop talking to each other, because they were having quite a nice day, so she put her head through the front seats. Actually, I read somewhere that to qualify for the top 1% in this country, you would need to earn more than £140,000 a year, she said helpfully. So if Mr. Nichols doesn't earn that much, then he probably isn't rich. She smiled and sat back in her seat. Mum looked at Mr. Nichols. She kept looking at him. Mr. Nichols rubbed his head. I'll tell you what, he said after a while. Shall we stop off and get some tea? Morton Marston looked like it had been invented for tourists. Everything was made of the same grey stone and really old, and everyone's gardens were perfect, with tiny blue flowers creeping over the tops of walls and immaculate little baskets of trailing leaves like something out of a book. The shops were all the kind you get on Christmas cards. In the market square, a woman dressed as a Victorian was selling buns from a tray, and groups of tourists wandered around taking pictures of everything. Tansy was so busy gazing out of the window at it that she didn't notice Nicky at first. It was only when they pulled into the parking space that she noticed he had gone really quiet. He wasn't looking at the phone, even though she knew he had really, really wanted it, and his face was all white. She asked him whether his ribs were hurting, and he said no. And when she asked if he had an apple down his trousers that he couldn't get out, he said, "No, Tans, just drop it." But the way he said it, there was definitely something. Tansy looked at Mum, but she was busy not looking at Mr. Nichols, and Mr. Nichols was busy making this big to-do about finding the best parking space. Norman just looked up at Tansy like, "Don't even bother asking." Everyone got out and stretched, and Mr. Nichols said they were all having tea and cake, and it was his treat, and please could we not make a big financial deal out of it, as it was just tea, okay? And Mum raised her eyebrows like she was going to say something, and then just muttered, "Thank you," but not with good grace. They sat down in a cafe whose name was Ye Spotted Sowy Tea Shoppy, even though Tansy would bet there were no tea shoppies in medieval times. She was pretty sure they didn't even have tea then. Nobody else seemed to mind. Nicky got up to go to the loo, and Mr. Nichols and Mum were at the counter choosing what to eat, so she clicked on Mr. Nichols's phone, and the first thing that came up was Nicky's Facebook page. She waited for a minute, because Nicky got really annoyed if people looked at his stuff, and then, when she was sure he really was in the loo, she made the screen go bigger so she could read it, and then she went cold. The Fishers had posted messages and pictures of men doing rude things to other men all over Nicky's timeline. They had called him Gimp and Fag Boy, and even though Tansy didn't know what the words meant, she knew they were bad, and she suddenly felt sick. She looked up, and Mum was coming back holding a tray. "Tansy, be careful with Mr. Nichols's phone." The phone had clattered onto the edge of the table. She didn't want to touch it. She wondered if Nicky was crying in the loo. She would be. When she looked up, Mum was staring at her. "What's wrong?" "Nothing." She sat down and pushed an orange cupcake on a plate across the table. Tansy wasn't hungry anymore, even though it was covered with sprinkles. "Tans, what's wrong? Talk to me." She pushed the phone slowly across the wooden table with the tip of her finger, like it was going to burn her or something. Mum frowned, and then looked down at it. She clicked on it and stared. "Jesus Christ," she said after a minute. Mr. Nichols sat down beside her. He had the biggest slice of chocolate cake Tansy had ever seen. "Everyone happy?" he said. He looked happy.
"The little bastards,"
Mum said, and her eyes filled with tears. What? Mr. Nichols had a mouthful of cake. Is that like a pervert? Mum didn't seem to hear her. She pushed the chair back with a massive screech and began striding towards the toilets.
That's the gents, madam, a woman called as Mum pushed the door open. I can read, thank you, Mum said, and she disappeared inside.
What? What's going on now?
Mr. Nichols struggled to swallow his mouthful. He glanced over at where Mum had gone. Then, when Tansy didn't say anything, he looked down at his phone and tapped it twice. He didn't say anything, just kept staring. Then he moved the screen around like he was reading everything. Tansy felt a bit weird. She wasn't sure he should be looking at that. Is this something to do with what happened to your brother? She wanted to cry. She felt like the fishes had ruined the nice day. She felt like they had followed them here, like they would never get away from them. She couldn't speak. Hey, he said, as a great big tear plopped down on the table. Hey! He held out a paper napkin towards her, and Tansy wiped her eyes, and when she couldn't hide the sob that burst upwards, he moved around the table and put an arm around her and pulled her in for a hug. He smelt of lemons and men. She hadn't smelt that man smell since Dad left, and it made her even sadder. Hey, don't cry. Sorry. Nothing to be sorry for. I'd cry if someone did that to my sister. That's... He clicked the phone off. Sheesh. He shook his head and blew out his cheeks. Do they do that to him a lot? I don't know, she sniffed. He doesn't say much anymore. Mr. Nichols waited until she had stopped crying, and then he moved back around the table and ordered a hot chocolate with marshmallows, chocolate shavings, and extra cream. Cures all known ills, he said, pushing it towards her. Trust me, I know everything. And the weird thing was, it was actually true.
Tansy had finished her chocolate and cupcake by the time Mum and Nicky came out of the loo. Mum put on this bright smile, like nothing was wrong, and had her arm around Nicky's shoulders, which actually looked a bit odd now that he was half a head taller than her. He slid into the seat beside her at the table and stared at his cake. Tansy watched Mr. Nichols looking at Nicky and wondered if he was going to say anything about what was on his phone, but he didn't.
She thought maybe he didn't want Nicky to get embarrassed. Either way, the happy day, she thought sadly, was over. And then Mum got up to check on Norman, who was tied up outside, and Mr. Nichols ordered a second cup of coffee and started stirring it slowly like he was thinking about something. And then he looked up at Nicky from under his eyebrows and said quietly, "So, Nicky, you know anything about hacking?" She got the feeling she wasn't supposed to listen, so she just stared really hard at the quadratic equations. No, said Nicky. Mr. Nichols leant forward over the table and lowered his voice. Well, I think now might be a good time to start.
Where are they? She said, looking around the room. They've gone to Mr. Nichols's car. Mr. Nichols said they're not to be disturbed. Tansy sucked the end of her pencil. Mum's eyebrows shot somewhere into her hairline. Mr. Nichols said you'd look like that. He said to tell you he's sorting it out. The Facebook thing. He's doing what? How? He said you'd say that too. She rubbed at a two, which looked a bit too much like a five, and blew away the rubbings. He said to tell you to please give them 20 minutes, and he's ordered you another cup of tea, and you should have some cake while you're waiting. They'll come back and fetch us when they're finished. And also to tell you the chocolate cake is really good. Mum didn't like it. Tansy sat and finished her unit until she was happy with the answers, while Mum fidgeted and looked out of the window and made as if to speak, then closed her mouth again. She didn't eat any chocolate cake. She just left the £5 that Mr. Nichols had put on the table sitting there, and Tansy put her rubber on it because she was worried that when someone opened the door, it would blow away. Finally,
Just as the woman was sweeping up close enough to their table to send a silent message, the door opened. A little bell rang, and Mr. Nichols walked in with Nicky. Nicky had his hands in his pockets and his hair over his eyes, but there was a little smirk on his face. Mum stood up and looked from one to the other. You could tell she really, really wanted to say something, but she didn't know what. "Did you try the chocolate cake?" Mr. Nichols said. His face was all bland, like a game show host's. "No."
"Shame. It was really good. Thank you. Your cake is the best,"
he called to the woman, who went all smiley and twinkly, even though she hadn't looked at Mum like that. Then Mr. Nichols and Nicky went straight back out again, striding across the road like they'd been mates all their lives, leaving Tansy and Mum to gather up their things and hurry out after them.
Chapter 15. Nicky. There was this article in the newspaper once about a hairless baboon. Her skin wasn't black all over, like you'd expect, but kind of mottled pink and black. Her eyes were black-rimmed, like she had this really cool eyeliner on, and she had one long pink nipple and one black one, like a sort of simian booby David Bowie. But she was all on her own. It turns out baboons don't like difference, and literally not one baboon was prepared to hang out with her. So she was photographed picture after picture, just out looking for food, all bare and vulnerable, without a single baboon mate. Because even though all the other baboons, like, knew she was still a baboon, their dislike of difference was stronger than any genetic urge they had to stick with her. Nicky thought this one thing quite often, that there was nothing sadder than a lonely, hairless baboon. Obviously, Mr. Nichols was about to give him a lecture on the dangers of social networking, or say that he had to report it all to his teachers, or the police, or something. But he didn't. He opened his car door, pulled out his laptop from the boot, plugged the power lead into a connector near his gear stick, and then plugged in a dongle so that they had broadband. "Right," he said, as Nicky eased himself into the passenger seat. "Tell me everything you know about this little charmer. Brothers, sisters, dates of birth, pets, address, whatever you've got." "What?" "We need to work out his password. Come on, you must know something." They were sitting in the car park. There was no graffiti here. No discarded shopping trolleys. This was the kind of place where they walked actual miles to return a shopping trolley. Nicky would have bet money that they had one of those best-kept village signs, too. A grey-haired woman loading her car beside them caught his eye and smiled. She actually smiled. Or maybe she smiled at Norman, whose big head was hanging over Nicky's shoulder. "Nicky?" "Yeah, I'm thinking." He tried to clear his head. He reeled off everything he knew about Fisher. He went through his address, his sister's name, his mum's name. He actually knew his birthday as it was only 3 weeks previously, and his dad had bought him one of those quad bikes, and he smashed it up within a week. Mr. Nichols kept tapping away. "Nope. Nope. Come on. There must be something else. What music does he like? What team does he support? Oh, look, he's got a Hotmail address. Great, we can put that in." Nicky told him everything he knew. Nothing worked. And then he had a sudden thought. Talisa. He's got a thing about Talisa, the singer. Mr. Nichols tapped away at his keyboard, then shook his head. "Try Talisa's arse," Nicky said. Mr. Nichols typed. "Nope." "I shagged Talisa, all one word?" "Nope." "Talisa Fisher?" "Nope. Nice try, though." They sat there, thinking. "You could just try his name," said Nicky. Mr. Nichols shook his head. "Nobody's stupid enough to use their name as their password." Nicky looked at him. Mr. Nichols typed a few letters, then stared at the screen. "Well, what do you know?" he said, and leant back in his seat. "You're a natural." "So what are you doing?" We're just going to have a little play with Jason Fisher's Facebook page. Actually, I'm not going to do it. I can't really risk anything on my IP address right now. But I know someone who can. He dialed a number. But won't he know it's down to me? How? We're basically him right now. There'll be nothing tracing this to you. He probably won't even notice. Hang on. Jez? Hey. It's Ed. Yeah, I'm just, under the radar for a bit. I need you to do me a favour. It'll take 5 minutes. Nicky listened as he told Jez Jason Fisher's password and email address. He said that Fisher had been creating a few difficulties for a friend. He looked at Nicky sideways as he read this. Just have a bit of fun with it, yeah? Read through his stuff. You'll get the picture. I'd do it myself, but I've got to keep my hands super clean right now. Yeah. I'll explain when I see you. Appreciate it. He couldn't believe it was so easy. Won't he hack me back, though? Mr. Nichols put down his phone. I'm going to take a punt here, but a boy who can't think further than his own name for a password is not really overflowing with computer skills. They sat there in the car and waited, refreshing Jason Fisher's Facebook page again and again. And, like magic, things began to change. Man, Fisher was such a douche. His wall was full of how he was going to do this girl or that girl from school, or how so-and-so was a slag and how he'd battered pretty much everyone outside his crew. His messages were much the same. Nicky glimpsed one message that had his name in it, but Mr. Nichols read it really fast and just said, "Yeah, you don't need to see that one," and scrolled up. The only time he didn't sound like a douche was when he messaged Chrissy Taylor and told her that he really liked her and did she want to come round his house. She didn't sound too keen, but he kept messaging her. He said that he'd take her out somewhere really dope and that he could borrow his dad's car. He couldn't. He was underage. He told her she was the prettiest girl in school and that she was doing his head in. And that if his mates knew she'd made him like this, they'd think he was a mentalist. "Who says romance is dead?" Mr. Nichols murmured. And so it began. Jez messaged two of Fisher's friends and told them that he had decided he was anti-violence and didn't want to hang out with them anymore. He messaged Chrissy and told her that he still liked her, but he had to get himself sorted out before he went out with her because he picked up some stupid infection what the doctor says I need to get medicine for. "I'll be nice and clean when we get together, though, eh?" Oh, man. Nicky was laughing so much that his ribs hurt. Oh, man. Jason told another girl called Stacy that he really liked her and that his mum had picked out some really nice clothes for him if she ever wanted to go out. And the same thing to a girl called Angela in his year whom he had once called a scuzz. And Jez deleted a new message from Danny Kane, who had tickets for some big football match, and said Jason could have one, but he'd have to let him know by the end of the day, which was today. He changed Fisher's profile picture for an image of a braying donkey. And then Mr. Nichols stared at the screen, thinking, and picked up his mobile. "Actually, I think we should leave it there, mate, just for now," he told Jez. "Why?" said Nicky, when he put the phone down. The donkey thing was kind of excellent. "Because it's better to be subtle. If we just stick to his private messages for now, it's entirely likely that he won't even spot them. We send them, then delete them at this end. We'll turn off his email notifications, and so his friends and this girl will just think he's become even more of an idiot, and he won't have a clue why, which is kind of the point." He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe someone could just mess with Fisher's life like that. Jez rang back to say he'd logged out, and they shut down Facebook. "And that's it," Nicky said. "For now. It's only a bit of fun, but it made you feel better, right? And he's going to clean up your page so that none of the stuff Fisher put up is there anymore." It was a bit embarrassing then, because when Nicky breathed out, he did this kind of shudder. He did feel better. It wasn't like it really solved anything, but for once it was nice not to feel like the butt of the joke. He messed with the hem of his T-shirt until his breathing went back to normal. It was possible Mr. Nichols knew because he looked out of the window like he was really interested, even though there was nothing there apart from cars and old people. Why would you do all this? The hacking thing and driving us all the way to Scotland? I mean, you don't even know us. Mr. Nichols stared out the window at the car park, and just for a moment, it was like he wasn't really talking to Nicky anymore. I sort of owe your mum one. And I guess I just don't like people crapping all over other people. Bullies didn't start with your generation, you know. Mr. Nichols sat there for a minute, and Nicky was suddenly fearful that he was going to try and make him talk about stuff. That he'd do that thing the counsellor did at school, where he tried to act like he was your mate, and said about 50 times that anything you said would be just between us, until it sounded a little creepy. I'll tell you one thing. Here it comes, Nicky thought. He wiped at his shoulder where Norman had left a drool. Everyone I've ever met who was worth knowing was a bit different at school. You just need to find your people. Find my people. Your tribe. Nicky pulled a face. You know, you spend your whole life feeling like you don't quite fit in anywhere, and then you walk into a room one day, whether it's at a university or an office or some kind of club, and you just go, ah, there they are. And suddenly you feel at home. I don't feel at home anywhere. For now. Nicky considered this. So where was yours? Computing room at university. I was a bit of a geek. I met my best mate Ronan there. And then, my company. He looked a bit serious after he said that. But I'm stuck there until I finish school. And there's nothing like that where we live. No tribes. Nicky pulled his fringe down over his eyes. You do things Fisher's way, or you stay out of his way. So find your people online. How? I don't know. Look up online groups for things you're interested in? Lifestyle choices? Nicky registered his expression. Oh, you think I'm gay too, right? No, I'm just saying the internet's a big place. There's always someone out there who shares your interests, whose life is like yours. Nobody's life is like mine. Mr. Nichols shut his laptop and slid it into his case. He unplugged everything and glanced over towards the cafe. We should head back. Your mum will be wondering what we're up to. He opened his door and then turned back. You know, you could always write a blog. A blog? Doesn't have to be under your real name, but it's a good way of talking about what's going on in your life. You put a few keywords in, and people will find you. People like you, I mean. People who wear mascara, and who like neither football nor musical theatre. And who have enormous stinking dogs, and sisters who are maths prodigies. I bet you there's at least one person like that somewhere. He thought for a minute. Maybe. Perhaps in Hoxton or Tupelo. I'm not a hairless baboon, you know. What? Nothing. Nicky pulled at his fringe some more, trying to cover the bruise. It had gone this really grim yellow, which made him look like he had some weird disease. Thanks, but blogs are not really my thing. Blogs are like for middle-aged women writing about their divorces and cats and stuff, or nail varnish obsessives. Just putting it out there. Do you write one? Nope. He climbed out of the car. But then I don't particularly want to talk to anyone. Nicky climbed out after him. Mr. Nichols pointed his keychain and the car locked down with an expensive thunk. In the meantime, he said, lowering his voice, we didn't have this conversation, okay? It wouldn't go down too well if anyone knew I was teaching innocent kids how to hack into private information. Jess wouldn't mind. I'm not talking about Jess. Nicky held his gaze. First rule of Geek Club, there is no Geek Club.
Chapter 16. Tansy. Nobody really wanted to get back in the car. The novelty of spending hours in a car, even one as nice as Mr. Nichols's, had worn off pretty quickly. This, Mum announced, like someone about to give an injection, would be the longest day. They were all to make themselves comfortable and make sure they'd been to the loo, because Mr. Nichols's aim was to drive almost to Newcastle, where he had found a B&B that took dogs. They would arrive at around 10 p.m. After that, he had calculated that with one more day's driving, they should arrive in Aberdeen. Mr. Nichols would find them somewhere to stay close to the university, then Tansy would be bright and fresh for the maths competition the next day. He looked at her hopefully. "Unless you think you've got used to this car enough for me to go above 40 now?" She shook her head. "No." His face fell a bit. "Oh well." He caught sight of the back seat then and blinked. A couple of chocolate buttons had melted into the cream leather seats, and although Tansy had picked away at them as best she could, there was definitely a brown mark. The footwell was covered with mud and leaves from where they had been walking around the woods. Mr. Nichols saw her looking and gave a half smile, like it really didn't matter, even though you could tell that it probably did, and turned back to the wheel. "Okay, then," he said, and started the engine. Everyone was silent for about an hour while Mr. Nichols listened to something on Radio 4 about technology. Mum read one of her books. Since the library had closed, she'd bought 2 paperbacks a week from the charity shop, but only ever had time to read one. The afternoon stretched and sagged, and the rain came down in thick, glassy sheets. Tansy gazed out of the window and tried to do maths problems in her head, but it was hard to focus when she couldn't do workings out on a pad. It was about 6 o'clock when Nicky began shifting around like he couldn't get comfortable. "When are we next stopping?" Mum had nodded off briefly. She pushed herself upright abruptly, pretending she hadn't, and peered at the clock. 6:10, Mr. Nichols said.
"Could we stop for some food?" said Tansy.
"I really need to walk around. My ribs are starting to hurt."
"Let's find somewhere to eat. We could divert into Leicester for a curry."
"We'll be fine with sandwiches. And we don't have time to sit down and eat a curry." Mr. Nichols drove through a small town, then another, and followed the signs to a retail park. It had begun to get dark. The Aldi crawled through it all, its windscreen wipers beating a dull, insistent tattoo, then finally stopped outside a supermarket, and Mum climbed out with a loud sigh and ran in. They could see her through the rain-lashed window, standing in front of the chiller cabinets, picking things up and putting them down again. "Why doesn't she just buy the ready-made sandwiches?" muttered Mr. Nichols, looking at his watch. "She'd be back out in 2 minutes."
"Too expensive," said Nicky.
"And you don't know whose fingers have been in them?"
"Jess did 3 weeks making sandwiches for a supermarket last year. She said that the woman next to her picked her nose in between shredding the chicken for the chicken Caesar wraps."
"And none of them wore gloves?"
Mr. Nichols went a bit quiet.
5-1, it's own browned ham," said Nicky, watching.
"Own brand ham is 2-1, Tansy said. "I'm going to go right out there and say sliced cheese," said Mr. Nichols.
"What odds will you give me on sliced cheese?"
"Not specific enough," said Nicky. "You have to go for Dairy Lee or cheaper own brand orange-coloured slices, probably with a made-up name." "Pleasant Valley cheese?"
"Utterly lovely cheddar?"
"That sounds disgusting."
"Grumpy cow slices?"
"Oh, come on now, she's not that bad."
Tansy and Nicky started laughing. Mum opened the door and held up her carrier bag.
"Right," she said brightly. "They had tuna paste on special. Who wants a sandwich?"
"You never want our sandwiches," Mum said as Mr. Nichols drove through the town. Mr. Nichols indicated and pulled out onto the open road.
I don't like sandwiches. They remind me of being at school.
So, what do you eat? Mum was tucking in. It had only taken a matter of minutes for the whole car to smell of fish. Tansy thought Mr. Nichols was too polite to say so.
In London? Toast for breakfast. Maybe some sushi or noodles for lunch. I have a takeout place I order from in the evening.
You have a takeaway? Every night?
If I'm not going out.
How often do you go out?
Right now? Never.
Mum gave him a hard look.
Well, okay, unless I'm getting drunk in your pub.
You seriously eat the same thing every day?
Mr. Nichols seemed a bit embarrassed now.
You can get different curries. That must cost a fortune. So what do you eat when you're at beachfront?
I get a takeaway.
From the Raj?
Yeah, you know it.
Oh, I know it. The car fell silent.
What? Said Mr. Nichols. You don't go there. What is it, too expensive? You're going to tell me it's easy to cook a jacket potato, right? Well, I don't like jacket potato. I don't like sandwiches, and I don't like cooking.
It might have been because he was hungry, but he was suddenly quite grumpy. Tansy leant forward through the seats. Natalie once found a hare in her chicken jalfrezi. Mr. Nichols opened his mouth to say something, just as she added, and it wasn't from someone's head. 23 lampposts went by.
You can worry too much about these things, Mr. Nichols said.
Somewhere after Nuneaton, Tansy started sneaking bits of her sandwich to Norman, because the tuna paste didn't really taste like tuna, and the bread kept sticking to the roof of her mouth. Mr. Nichols pulled into a petrol station. Their sandwiches will be awful, said Mum, gazing inside the kiosk. They'll have been there for weeks.
I'm not buying a sandwich.
Do they do pasties? Said Nicky, peering inside, and his voice was full of longing. I love pasties.
They're even worse. They're probably full of dog. Tansy put her hands over Norman's ears.
Mum glanced at Nicky and sighed.
Are you going in? She said to Mr. Nichols, rummaging around in her purse. Will you get these two some chocolate? Special treat.
Crunchy, please, said Nicky, who had cheered up.
Aero, mint, please,
Tansy said.
Can I have a big one?
Mum was holding out her hand, but Mr. Nichols was staring off to his right.
Can you get them? I'm just going to pop across the road, he said.
Where are you going?
He patted his stomach and he suddenly looked really cheerful. There.
Keith's Kebabs had 6 plastic seats that were bolted to the floor, 14 cans of Diet Coke arranged in its window, a neon sign that was missing its first B, and a rum bar that looked as though it had been there for several decades. Tansy peered through the window of the car and watched Mr. Nichols's walk become almost jaunty as he entered its strip-lit interior. He stared at the wall behind the counter, then spoke to the man who gestured towards some trays behind a glass screen, then pointed to a huge hunk of brown meat turning slowly on a spit. Tansy considered what animal was shaped like that and could only come up with buffalo, maybe an amputee buffalo.
"Aw, man," said Nicky as the man began to carve, and his voice was a low moan of longing.
"Can't we have one of those?"
"No," said Mum.
"I bet Mr. Nichols would buy us one if we asked," he said. Mum snapped, "Mr. Nichols is doing quite enough for us. We're not going to mooch off him any more than we have already, okay?" Nicky rolled his eyes at Tansy. "Fine," he said moodily. And then nobody said anything.
I'm sorry, said Mum, after a minute. I just don't want him thinking we're taking advantage.
But is it still taking advantage if someone just offers you something? Tansy said. She was really, really bored of eating cold food out of plastic bags, and she had the feeling that if they asked him, Mr. Nichols would buy them one. Eat an apple if you're still hungry, or one of the breakfast muffins. I'm sure we've got a few left.
Nicky raised his eyes silently. Tansy let out a sigh. Mr. Nichols opened the car door, bringing with him the smell of hot, fatty meat. He was grinning as he sat down. His kebab was swaddled in white, grease-stained paper and shredded green salad bushed from both sides of the meat like Kitchener's moustache. Two twin bungee ropes of drool dropped immediately from Norman's mouth.
"You sure you don't want some?"
he said cheerfully, turning towards Nicky and Tansy.
"I only put a bit of chilli sauce on."
"No, that's very kind, but no thank you," said Mum firmly, and gave Nicky a warning look.
"No thanks," Tansy said quietly. It smelt delicious.
"No, thank you," said Nicky, and turned his face away.
Nuneaton, Market Bosworth, Colville, Ashby de la Zouche, the signs passed by in a steady blur. They could have said Zanzibar and Tanzania for all Tansy knew of where they actually were. She found herself repeating, "Ashby de la Zouche, Ashby de la Zouche," and thinking it would be a good name to have. "Hi, what's your name? I'm Ashby de la Zouche. Hey, Ashby, that's so cool." Costanza Thomas was five syllables too, but it didn't have the same rhythm. She considered Costanza de la Zouche, which was six, and then Ashby Thomas, which sounded flat by comparison. Costanza de la Zouche. Mum was reading again, with the passenger light on, and Mr. Nichols kept shifting around in his seat until finally he said, "That map, is there a restaurant or something up ahead?" They had been back on the open road for 389 lampposts when Mr. Nichols said he had to stop the car. Usually it was one of them who asked to stop. Tansy kept getting dehydrated and drinking too much, then needing a wee. Norman whined to go every 20 minutes, but they could never tell if he genuinely needed one or was as bored as they were and just wanted a little sniff around. "You're still hungry?" Mum looked up.
"No, I need the loo."
Mum went back to her book. "Oh, don't mind us, just go behind a tree."
"Not that kind of loo," he muttered.
"Oh," Mum picked the map out of his glove compartment. "Well, judging by this, Kegworth is the nearest town. I'm sure there'll be somewhere you could go. Or there might be a services if we could get to the dual carriageway."
"Which is closest?"
Mum traced the map with her finger. "Hard to say. Kegworth? How far?" 10 minutes?"
"Okay," he nodded, almost to himself. 10 minutes is okay."
He said it again, and his face was weirdly shiny.
10 minutes is doable."
Nicky had his earbuds in and was listening to music. Tansy was stroking Norman's big, soft ears and thinking about string theory. And then suddenly, Mr. Nichols swerved the car abruptly into a lay-by. Everyone lurched forward. Norman nearly rolled off the seat. Mr. Nichols threw open the driver's door, ran round the back, and as she turned in her seat, he crouched down by a ditch, one hand braced on his knee, and began heaving. It was impossible not to hear him, even with the windows closed. They all stared.
"Whoa," said Nicky. "That's a lot of stuff coming out of him. That's like, whoa, that's like the alien."
"Oh my God," said Mum.
"It's disgusting," Tansy said, peering over the back shelf.
"Quick," said Mum. "Where's that kitchen roll, Nicky?" They watched as she got out of the car and went to help him. He was doubled over, like his stomach was really hurting. When she saw Tansy and Nicky were staring out of the back window, she flicked her hand like they shouldn't look, even though she had been doing the exact same thing.
"Still want a kebab?" Tansy said to Nicky.
"You're an evil sprite," he said and shuddered.
Mr. Nichols walked back to the car like someone who'd only just learnt how to do it. His face had gone this weird pale yellow. His skin was dusted with tiny beads of sweat.
"You look awful," Tansy told him.
He eased himself back into his seat,